May be seated. Turn with me this morning for the reading and preaching of the Word of God. Once again to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and I'll begin reading in chapter 1, verse 12, and read to the end of the chapter. Let us hear the word of God. It is infallible, inerrant, inspired by him. It is thus saith the Lord. Pick it up at verse 12, chapter 1. Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. And I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you may be able to call these things to mind. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales which we made known to you, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Well, the title this morning is simply this: Pay Attention to the Word. I believe that is the heart of the message in this section that God inspired Peter to write. Now, let me say before I get busy with the sermon itself, I skipped over verses 8 through 11 today, but we'll go back next Sunday and I'll read and preach from verses 8 through 11, because we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper, and I believe that text goes well with the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And it will be about making certain, verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. So I'll be dealing with the subject of assurance, absolute assurance of salvation, asking and answering the question, are you sure? But today we're going to focus on these other verses in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, and we'll, toward the end, I'll ask the question, why should we pay attention to the Word of God, as Peter is challenging us to do? And there are a number of reasons given in the rest of the book why we are to pay attention to God's word. Well, again, he is reminding us in verses 12 and 13 that he wants to remind us and to stir us up to remember the things that we already know, or at least the things that they knew already. He gives them credit for knowing these things already, but he wants to remind them and to stir them up. He also lets them know that in his own mind, his death is imminent. He's not going to be around on earth much longer, and he's convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ has made this clear to him. Now, we know that none of us, at least I don't, and I don't know of anybody that does know the day and hour that they will cease to breathe and they will die. Now, some people get a good idea of a general time frame based on their health condition, and I've had friends who've been diagnosed with cancer, and invariably, once the doctor tells them that you have cancer, then immediately their response normally is simply to ask this question: well, then how long do I have? How much time do I have? Well, the doctors can give them a general time frame, but again, not specific concerning day and time. We know the Bible teaches us from Job chapter 1 that the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. We know from Psalm 139 that the Lord knows all of our days before there was ever one of them. And so he knows the exact day and time and place where we will breathe our last and we will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But we do not know that specific day, place, and time, nor did Peter, but he knows this for sure. It's not far off for him. And so he seems to be under the pressure of reminding them of some things, to stir them up in light of these things, to live the Christian life. That's what the whole book of 1 Peter was about, the challenge to live the Christian life. Since we are Christians, that's obviously the right thing to do, to learn and put into practice what the Lord says. And so he wants to be diligent to call these things to their mind. We, again, were reminded even in Sunday school that sometimes we need to be reminded. And I find that more and more frequent in this day in which I live, at the age that I am. I need to be reminded. Now he goes on to say in verses 16 and 17, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, he's reminding them, we, the apostles, didn't make these things up. What we preached to you, what we taught you, the way we lived among you, didn't come about by cleverly devised tales. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And in the book of 1 John, there in that first chapter, the Apostle John was writing, what we have seen and heard, we announce to you. And so there were eyewitnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on earth, prior to his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension back into heaven. And so Peter reminds them of this. Verse 17, "For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory." And this is the utterance: "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Well, turn back with me for just a moment to Matthew 17, and we're studying the Gospel of Matthew in Sunday school. We're not up to 17 yet, but we, Lord willing, will be there in just a few more weeks. But this is the incident or event that Peter is reminding the readers of his second letter to them in 2 Peter. Well, in Matthew 17, pick it up at verse 1. "And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Well, let me just stop and say, what an event. What an event. I would love to have seen the face of Peter, James, and John when this was going on. I can just imagine the jaw dropping and the eyes getting big. A glorious, miraculous event that was taking place. And they were eyewitnesses. They were present. They got to see and hear what was going on. Verse 4, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Well, let's go back now to 2 Peter. And so, again, Peter is reminding the readers of 2 Peter of this event, the transfiguration of Jesus and God the Father announcing, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Verse 18, and we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. The testimony of an eyewitness is given a lot of credibility. Now, yes, we know that some can claim to be witnesses and lie about what they saw or what they heard, but not when they are inspired of God and not when they were present with him. Peter, James, and John were there, and they saw and they heard. So Peter can write with authority and with integrity. And we, like they, should believe him, because it is God himself who inspired Peter to write these words and directed him to do so. And he goes on to say, verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Now, let me say a word about interpretation. I don't know how much TV you watch. I don't know how much you look at the news presented on TV or the presidential debates or whatever else. I keep up with some of that. I certainly don't believe all of that by any stretch of the imagination. But there was one of the candidates who made a statement this week about another person and went on to say, but that just might be my own interpretation. Well, my response to interpretations is simply this. I don't want to hear your interpretation. Your interpretation is no better than your opinion, and everybody's got one of those, and they're not always right. What I want to hear is, thus saith the Lord. I want to hear what God says. That's what I'll pay attention to, not your interpretation of what God's word says. And I've had other people at times in my ministry over the last 40 some odd years who would disagree with what I would preach or teach, and they would come to me and say, well, that's just your interpretation. And I would have to say, no, that's not my interpretation. That's the truth of the word of the living God. They just disagreed with what God said, so they disagreed with what I said he said. God's word is not a matter of interpretation. It's a matter of absolute truth. And that's why we should pay attention to it. That's why we should read it and study it and meditate on it and memorize it and seek to obey it and model and teach it and present it to others. That's the position of the ARP Church on the Word of God. Chapter 1 in our Westminster Confession, and I went back through my notes and saw that I had preached a sermon on the subject of the Word of God when I was doing that series of sermons on the subject of church membership. The text that Sunday was 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, or in thereabouts. I don't have the exact. Well, let's just turn there and we'll find it. But this was the text for that particular Sunday, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Now, the time's going to come, Lord willing, before I get through with 2 Peter, that we're going to come back to this chapter on the subject of the last days. But I want you to notice in verse 1, it says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And then it goes on to talk about what those difficult times will look like. And then we get down to verses 16 and 17, and it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. And our Westminster Confession, chapter 1, makes it very clear that the all scripture that's mentioned in that verse is literally the 66 books of the Bible. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, a total of 66. And that is the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of Almighty God. And so let's go back now to 2 Peter. And so this is what Peter is saying, pay attention to. Pay attention to the Word of God. It's important. It's way more important than what your culture will teach you or tell you. It's way more important than what your news media will tell you. It's way more important than what any of your politicians will have to say to you. So let's pay attention to it, because it's not a matter of one's own interpretation. No prophecy, verse 21, was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. What's in these 66 books of the Bible is not man-made ideas. They are the very word of the living God. Well, now, Peter is saying to them, there's some reasons why you should pay attention to God's word. Because God's going to get it right every time. People in the world are not. We turn back with me quickly to the book of Acts, chapter 17. And some of us in the back were talking about this earlier this morning. Acts chapter 17, verse number 11. Well, let's pick it up at verse 10. I'll read 10, 11, and 12. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Well, let me just stop there and say, I highly recommend that approach to you. Anytime you hear the word of God taught or preached, you need to search the scriptures like the Bereans did to see if these things be so, because those of us doing the teaching and preaching are human, and we have a fallen, sinful nature just like everybody else, and we're not perfect, and we may not always get it right, even though we strive to and want to. I would never intentionally mislead anyone concerning the word of God, but I know that I may not get it right just out of ignorance or lack of proper understanding. So you need to be a student of the word of God. You too need to search the scriptures daily to see if what you hear taught and preached is biblically correct. Now, hopefully we'd get it right 99.9% of the time. I strive to get it right all the time. But I know my frailty and my imperfection. But verse 12 went on to say, many of them therefore believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. But they received the word with gladness, with eagerness. Now back to 2 Peter. There are going to be some things in 2 Peter and some other books, chapters, and verses that we're going to look at before I conclude 2 Peter, the things, the matters, the subjects that Peter brings up to these people. He's already said, you already know them. Well, I don't know if all of us already know them or not, but if we do, we'll be reminded just like they were reminded. But here are some reasons why we should pay attention to the word of God. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. We need to pay attention to the word of God because there are false prophets and false teachers in our world. And the only way we'll be able to discern what is true and biblical as compared to what is being falsely taught about what's biblical is if we know the word of God ourselves. That's our only defense. And I'll tell you, some of these false prophets and teachers are pretty slick. And they have arguments or positions that may persuade us if we don't know better. And so we are to be, as the picture on the front of our bulletin and the picture on the front of our cards has a Bible with a tree that's growing and it's green, It's alive and doing well. Why? Because it represents the life of a Christian who is rooted and grounded in the Word of the living God. One who is paying attention to the Word. It's hard to deceive us and to lead us astray when we know what the Word of God says. And we should be viewing life, that's what we theologians call a biblical Christian world and life view. We look at everything through what the Word of God says. And we filter everything that we hear through what we know the Word of God says. That's the only way we can make sure of what is true and what isn't. And so we need to pay attention to the Word. Because of false prophets, because of false teachers. Well, look at verses 3 and 4. And we'll get more into this as time goes on. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Judgment, the subject of judgment, God's judgment. God does judge the wicked. God does judge evil. And I've heard more than one person say things like this: God is not going to judge anybody. Well, it's just not true. And so we'll pay attention to what the Word says about the judgment of God. Drop on down to verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. There's going to be a day of judgment. And we'll, when the time comes, we'll look at that and see what God's Word says about the day of judgment. It's on His calendar. Now, I don't know the year, time, or day, but I know it's coming. And I know that no one is getting away with anything. Now, there are those who might think they are, and some who might even try to convince us that they are, and they may get away with it in this life, but they're not going to get away with anything come the day of judgment. We need to pay attention to what God's Word says about the day of judgment. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse number 3. Well, the first two verses, he's saying again, I'm stirring you up in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. He keeps wanting to remind us that he's doing this. Verse 3, know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come, and their mocking following after their own lust. So I'm going to have to address the subject of the last days. That goes back again to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, there will be certain things taking place, and we need to be reminded of that. The last days. All right, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. So he brings up the subject of his coming, his second coming, the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. And we need to pay attention to what God's Word says about the second coming of Christ. I'll address that, reading and preaching about it before we get to the conclusion of the book of 2 Peter. Then look at chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. That's more revelation on the subject of the second coming of Christ. And then in verses, well, drop down to verse 13. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, you can read back through 10 through 13 that talks more about that, and that the present heavens and earth will be destroyed with intense heat. Now, again, that's how it's going to be destroyed. It is not going to be destroyed by anyone other than God himself. We need to get that. Many are telling us different in this day. Heard something about that this past week. We need to look and listen to things through the inerrant, infallible, inspired, absolute truth of the Word of the living God, no matter what it is that's coming at us. And so one day we'll be in the new heavens and the new earth. What a wonderful day that will be. Well, all of these are reasons why we should pay attention to the Word of God, so that we will not be misled or duped or take up with things that are false. So again, simply stated, pay attention to the Word of God.